Dermot and Dave. Conversation, crack, and the music you love. Today FM. It all happens here. Today FM. Dermot and Dave.
Mind yourself now.
On Today FM.
Look, they're all over the shops, and some people swear by them and other people not so much. But do we actually need to take supplements? Do they do anything once we swallow them? Well, we're joined by Elsa Jones, nutritional therapist, to run through everything we need to know about supplements for today's Mind Yourself Now. Elsa, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Have you taken supplements this morning? Are you magnesiumed out of your head?
Well, I take my magnesium at night because it's better absorbed.
Oh, I see.
I won't lie. I've got some supplements in my cabinet, but I don't take them willy nilly. I tailor them kind of at specific kind of stages based on different things. So,
right.
Yeah.
What about the sort of one size fits all? You know, the men's multivitamin you get somewhere, or any of the other brands that you might just pop and you think I'll probably have most things boxed off there with a capsule or two.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people take a supplement just as sort of nutritional insurance, basically, you know.
Yeah.
I think the reality is, you know, do we absolutely need to take supplements? No. If we have a really balanced diet, we're getting plenty of fresh fruit and vegetables every day, well, then no. But the reality is that most of us don't.
I'm so glad you said it, Elsa, because I was about to say, look, we'd all love a really balanced diet and to be getting enough, you know, iron from spinach and whatever else we're supposed to be doing. But in reality, is the kind of the nutritional insurance a good way to go about it when you are going to eat a pizza on a Friday and a fry on a Sunday?
This is Dave's way of saying that he only eats beige things. If it's the colour of a chicken nugget, he'll have it.
Oh my God, that's like the classic toddler diet, the beige diet.
Dermot paints a far worse picture than reality. Let's go on for the purposes of this conversation, though. No, but there are people, I think, in that position.
Sorry, chocolate is brown.
Yes, true. Yes. and rainbow bubblegums are green, so, you know. No, but I suppose there are a lot of people.
Get your five a day.
There are a lot of people, Elsa, who wouldn't be proud of their diet, but they think maybe then that one of the ways of combating that, rather than attacking it the way they should do, which of course is to eat better, is to load up on supplements.
Yeah, well, I think loading up is never a great idea, but I absolutely take your point. And I think, though, it's just important to say, though, that supplements shouldn't replace a balanced diet, but they can be really beneficial to bridge any nutritional gaps. So, you know, they help ensure your body is getting an optimal amount of nutrients for optimal health, so not just enough to prevent deficiencies. So if you are somebody whose diet is just so-so, well, then definitely there is an argument to take, for example, let's say a multivitamin, so you're going to get, you know, a bit of everything, you're kind of A to Z. However, you know the saying, you know, you can't outrun a bad diet. Mm. You can't out-supplement a bad diet either. So, yes, it's... supplements are useful kind of as insurance for the days that you don't eat so well, but they really shouldn't replace a balanced diet.
Yeah, one of the things I remember hearing years and years ago when vitamin C all of a sudden became a thing that we all, and I'm talking about like maybe in the early 90s.
The 1850s.
when scurvy was still up. but one of the things was that you couldn't overdose on vitamin C because you would just wee out whatever, you know, once your body had kind of absorbed all it needed to. Is that true? And B, is it true of all supplements? I mean, can you have too much, you know, vitamin K or riboflavin?
Yeah, it's a really good point. And basically, the water-soluble vitamins, so the vitamin C that you mentioned, the B vitamins, if we take in too much, our bodies will excrete that through our urine. So basically, we'll just wee them out.
Okay.
So they wouldn't be considered sort of, you know, dangerous to overdo, whereas the fat-soluble vitamins, the likes of the vitamins, you know, A, D, E, and K, can build up to toxic levels, so we have to be careful. Also, iron is one that you should really be tested to see if you're iron deficient before you take a supplement, because there is such a thing as hemochromatosis, which is an iron overload, and if you have that unbeknownst to yourself and you're taking iron supplements, you can actually make yourself very sick.
Okay.
So what are the ones that we tend generally, maybe as Irish people, to be lacking in?
There are definitely common nutritional deficiencies. So iron in women is a big one. Vitamin D is a common one in Ireland. I guess, you know, we have long winters with not an awful lot of sunshine. So particularly in elderly people, vitamin D is a big one. Vitamin B12, the omega-3 fats. You know, we live in an island, but we don't really eat enough sort of fish. Calcium, magnesium. So these tend to be the ones that are most often supplemented, you know. Mm. But they're definitely, I really believe that people's needs change and vary over different stages of their lives. So, for example, you know, your age is a factor. You may not benefit from a supplement in your 20s, but you might in your 40s. And, you know, gender is very important. So, for example, with women, with hormone balance, your activity level, for example, obviously if you're pregnant. Also, certain if you're taking certain medications, it can actually deplete certain nutrients, so you might need to take a supplement to combat that. Your digestive health and your gut health is really a big factor too. So whether you are able to absorb nutrients well could be a factor over whether you need to supplement or not. And then, of course, if you're on any kind of a restricted diet, for example, like a vegan or somebody who only eats beige foods, things like that, you know, then you might need to supplement as well.
Yeah, and sometimes like one of the most intimidating places you can be is the health food shop when you go in and you say, right, I'm going to get myself sorted. And you look at this wall of things, you have no idea what they do. And you say, hi, I'm looking for like good supplements. And the person goes, all right, what one do you want? And you're like, I'm going to back away slowly and go back out the door now. So it can be a very intimidating place. Like, if people want to go, look, I feel like I'm a little bit tired and run down. I feel like I'm missing something. What are good ones to get, sort of just to kind of cover the bases, as you say, the nutritional and insurance fallacy?
I think like if a person has a specific health concern, then they are, you know, best to sit down with a nutrition expert and get kind of a tailored supplement protocol for their specific needs. But if it's kind of sort of general, which is kind of what you're talking about, then, you know, the likes of a health food store generally do stock, you know, a very good selection of reputable brands. And I guess, I suppose that the supplements that I would see people benefit from, you know, generally would be, so if, for example, maybe you're suffering with a bit of anxiety or stress or low energy, then a good B complex is usually beneficial. Magnesium is also, so B complex and magnesium together can help support our body's resistance to stress. So that's a good one. Mm. I think definitely at this time of year, a vitamin D3 supplement and vitamin C can also help to support our immune system. And obviously vitamin D deficiency is common here. This probably won't relate to you boys, but even something that I see a lot would be kind of hormone balance, kind of PMS type symptoms, the likes of, you know, magnesium, vitamin B6 and evening primrose oil work very well. And then also if you have any digestive issues or again to support your immune system, a good microbiota can be good to help replenish good bacteria. If you've had a period of stress or, for example, if you've taken an antibiotic, but, you know, if it's general health concerns like that, then you know, you usually will be able, they'll be able to direct you to the right types of supplements. And certainly as well, somebody who has good nutritional knowledge will also be able to tell you which form of the supplement is better to meet your particular health need. So, for example, you mentioned, you know, magnesium there, Dave, at the start. And magnesium is excellent, but it comes in so many different forms. Mm. So, for example, magnesium citrate can be really good if you get that kind of, you know, that restless legging at night or muscle cramps or even constipation. Magnesium citrate is really good. Whereas if you more need sort of soothing for anxiety or you want to you need help with sleep, then magnesium glycinate is better. So,
okay, so that knowledge is important.
Aware. Yeah.
You've written a book called Goodbye Sugar. Do you think, you know, the insurance policy can be kind of undone a little bit because things like sugar intake can actually affect the efficiency of the absorption of minerals and vitamins and stuff?
Well, I suppose what I was kind of saying earlier about, you know, you can't out-supplement a bad diet. You know, the reality is that most of us do consume too many processed foods and too many sugary foods. And they don't actually offer any nutritional value, but yet they can actually, our body uses up valuable nutrients trying to process them. So, for example, if you have a very high sugar diet, that can actually deplete your magnesium stores.
Okay.
So then your nutritional needs might be higher. Or if you're in a very high stress state, that also uses up a lot of B vitamins and magnesium. So then your nutritional needs might be higher.
Gotcha.
Everybody is rushing out now to buy magnesium and vitamin D. That's me. She's describing me. Oh, why did I eat those biscuits?
Elsa, somebody says supplement equals expensive pee. Diet is the key.
Well, you know what? I think that I agree to a certain amount, and I am 100% food first, you know. I don't take supplements myself willy-nilly, and I don't prescribe them willy-nilly either. It really, food first. I think we should never underestimate the power of nature and whole foods. But that's not to say that supplements don't have their place either. They do, they can have their place. But saying that, there's no point taking 5 supplements a day and then having a crappy diet and having, you know, really high stress levels, not doing any exercise, being on screens all day. You know, diet and supplements are only one part of the health picture, I think, as we all know. So, you know, and then obviously you have to take into consideration somebody's budget as well. So, if somebody came to me and I knew they were on, a tight budget, then I would really absolutely focus on their foods and only kind of suggest supplements if I felt they were necessary or they'd really benefit from them.
That makes sense, in fairness.
Elsa, you've cleared up a lot of stuff there. I think it's a lot clearer for everybody. Actually, before you go, yes or no, those really cheap supplements you see in those really cheap supermarkets?
No.
Okay. I had a feeling you were going to say that.
Elsa Jones, qualified nutritional therapist and author of best-selling book, Goodbye Sugar. Thank you very much for taking part and Mind Yourself Now today.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers. Bye. See you later. Bye-bye.
Dermot and Dave. Weekdays from 9 a.m. Today.